and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It is the largest megachurch in the United States. On a weekly basis, about 25,000 people attend Lakewood Community Church in Houston, Texas. They have recently purchased the sports arena that was the former home of the Houston Rockets. They're planning an $70 million plus renovation to this facility so that they can accommodate more people. It is Lakewood Community Church in Houston, Texas. It's Pastor Joel Osteen. He's got a television program that you can see on a weekly basis. His message is upbeat. It is whimsical. It is humorous. His audience are upscale. And they are probably pretty typical for the average evangelical church in America. Is his preaching typical for the average evangelical church in America? Is Joel Osteen, like his famous father John, a word faith teacher? We're going to talk about word faith teachings, Joel Osteen, and the ministry there at Lakewood Community Church in Houston, Texas, tonight on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Sunday night, September the 26th. Write this number down and give us a call in the next 2 hours. Bob Lico of Discernment Ministry International will be our guest. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. You can also post your question or your comment on the Issues Etc. forum at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, under the What's New section. You'll find the forum for your questions and comments on the Word Faith teaching of Joel Osteen. Bob Lico is our guest. He's a regular guest here on Issues Etc., co-founder of Discernment Ministry International based in Detroit, and author of an article in a recent Truth Matters newsletter called The Leaven of Lakewood. Bob, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good evening, Pastor Todd.
Give us a brief biographical sketch of Joel Osteen, and you can't really do that without also talking about his famous father, John Osteen, and the ministry there at Lakewood.
Well, absolutely. The Lakewood Church has been around since the late 50s, and was started by Joel Osteen's father, John Osteen, who started his ministry career as a Southern Baptist, actually went and attended a Southern Baptist seminary. And then around in the late 50s, about 1959, he became part of the Charismatic Renewal movement and left the Southern Baptist Convention and became an independent charismatic ministry or church, and started his church in Lakewood, Texas. And his church began to grow over the years, and he was heavily influenced by the teachings of a good friend of his, Kenneth E. Hagin, the founder of Rhema Bible Training Center, and considered by many to be the father of the Word of Faith movement. And John Osteen certainly subscribed to a lot of the teachings of the Word of Faith movement as far as positive confession and believing that we could, in essence, create our own realities by the words of our mouth and by being careful to only confess the positive things of life and the positive promises in the Bible, that we could have these things. And he certainly believed in divine healing to the degree that healing was God's will for all of his children, and that if a person was sick, it was basically their fault. And he grew his church to, probably about, I think at the time of John Osteen's death, they were probably around 8,000 or 9,000 members. And his son took over for John when he was in the hospital. And actually, Joel had not wanted to even work as a pastor. He had been behind the scenes with his father. He had been running the media ministry, the television and the publications and the syndication of his program, because he was on the cable stations and TBN and things. John Osteen was fairly well known and wrote many books, and Joel was kind of behind all of that, and he had no desire to be a pastor. But when his father was stricken and in the hospital, his dad said, "Joel, I need you to go out there and preach for me tonight." And Joel was, "I don't really want to do it," but he went ahead, and according to the article in Charisma, he got out on the platform and just sort of told some stories to the people, and they liked it, and he kind of liked being there, and he decided that, he would go ahead and take over for his dad. And he used his marketing skills, and really I call it a genius, the way that he's learned how to use marketing techniques and slick broadcasting and brochures and good publications, and has grown the church from the 9,000 to now the largest church in America.
Let's talk a bit about the Word Faith teaching. I take it from your comments here in answer to the previous question that there's really no doubt in your mind that John Osteen, the older, the founder of Lakewood, was fairly well within the mainstream of Word Faith teaching. Tell us the hallmarks of this particular subset of teaching within the Christian church, Word Faith.
Well, when we say the Word of Faith movement, we're really referring, it's often referred to as the positive confession movement, the name it and claim it movement, the health and wealth gospel. And they call it that because so much of the teaching centers around the fact that we are created in the image of God, and they believe that God created everything by speaking faith-filled words. And when God spoke those words, the words that he spoke, he believed, would come to pass, and they did. And so they read in Genesis that we're created in the likeness and image of God. Ergo, we must have the same ability to speak into existence the things that we genuinely believe in our heart. And this is especially true when we're speaking the promises of God in the Bible. So if we believe a certain passage of text, we believe it with all of our might, and we confess it, then it's to come to pass in our life. And then they add to this foundation of positive confession the belief in health, that you can speak your health into existence, of wealth, that you can have all the money that you have need of. In fact, they tell you that God gives you the power to get wealth to establish his covenant, which they cite from the Old Testament. And they look at Abraham and all the blessings that Abraham had, and those blessings are ours because we're the seed of Abraham. And so it's obviously God's will for all of his children to be extremely wealthy, extremely healthy, and to be very powerful, be very anointed by the Holy Spirit, to be people that go around healing all the sick people around them, where miracles are almost a daily occurrence. In fact, Oral Roberts wrote a book called A Miracle a Day. So that's kind of the essence of the movement. It's very popular because, well, we're Americans, and who amongst us probably couldn't use some more money, or we have family members who are very sick, or perhaps we're battling different illnesses in our own lives, and we would like to be healed. And so when someone comes into town and rents out the arena and puts a big ad in the paper and says, come and learn the seven keys to divine healing, oh, you know, you'll get a crowd. And so that's kind of how the Word of Faith movement has taken off, and they've been very big on television, very well publicized, very prolific in their writings, production of cassette tapes, videotapes, now DVDs and CDs. And the message is just very popular.
Now, some Word Faith teachers, you mentioned Kenneth Hagin, or we could also talk about Kenneth Copeland, and there are many others, will actually come out and articulate this name it and claim it type of a mechanism, which they refer to as the spiritual law. When you listen to the preaching of Joel Osteen of Lakewood Community Church in Houston, Texas, does he come out and articulate the Word Faith teaching in that kind of exactness?
Well, I believe he does. In fact, the way that he begins his programs, he starts off with this positive confession. And he has all of the people in the audience confess along with him that they will be blessed today, that they will receive the Word of God, that they will, you know, be above and not beneath, and that all of God's plans for their lives will come to pass. And then Joel, at the end of his leading the people in their little mantra, if you will say, you know, Lord, I loose these blessings on your people in Jesus' name. You know, because he has the authority to do this as being their pastor. He has the authority to bind and loose. And certainly there's some degree of legitimacy to being a pastor and having some spiritual oversight to a flock, but always keeping in mind that Jesus, of course, is our chief shepherd, and at best we're mere under-shepherds. But, yeah, he's I think, pretty blatant in that. I think in some other areas of the teaching, such as the Word of Faith is very strong in their teaching about Jesus, which is unfortunate because they teach that on the cross Jesus became a sinner, not that he bore our sins, but that he literally became a lost person, was dragged down into hell by demons, was tormented by Satan and demons for 3 days, and then God looked down over his throne and said that it was enough, that justice had been satisfied, and the Spirit of God entered into Jesus again, and then as a born-again man, he defeated Satan and hell and took the keys of death and hell from the devil and rose up victoriously. I don't think Joel teaches that from the pulpit, because that would be a little hard for your average evangelical Christian to swallow. The seeker-sensitive people, of course, are generally upwardly mobile, middle class, upper middle class, college-educated folks. So they would have no problem agreeing with additional finances and that God wants you wealthy. Certainly everyone would agree with the health aspects. But when you start talking about the atonement and Jesus becoming a sinner, I think that is a little tough for many Christians to believe because it's so outlandish.
We're going to talk more about this with Bob Leko on the other side of the break, and we'll hear what Pastor Joel Osteen has to say about blessings right after this. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We're talking about Joel Osteen and Lakewood Community Church tonight on Issues Etc.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc.
Folks, we're going to be broadcasting Issues Etc. live from Columbia, Missouri at Trinity Lutheran Church in Columbia, Thursday, October the 7th, from 3 to 6 in the afternoon. Joining me there will be Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Ken Sherb, Pastor Peter Karowski, and Pastor Eric Rotman. Now, after the broadcast, there's going to be a meal and a Q&A session with me and the guests. The meal does require a $10 ticket, so call this toll-free number tomorrow, 1-888-930-4438, and ask for the meal ticket for that live broadcast and the Q&A session, 1-888-930-4438. Again, it's a live broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 to 6 in the afternoon, Thursday, October the 7th, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri, and a meal afterwards. I'd love to meet some of our mid-Missouri listeners October the 7th for that live broadcast. For more information, visit our website, issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section, or call 1-888-930-4438. We're talking about Joel Osteen, his Word Faith teaching, and the ministry at Lakewood Community Church in Houston, Texas, the largest megachurch in the United States. Bob Leko is our guest. Bob, here's something that Joel Osteen has to say about blessings. I'd like your reaction.
I've discovered that the blessing is greater than the curse. That means no matter how many negative words have been spoken over you, if you will begin to declare good things over your life, you can break that curse. You can turn those things around. I want to help you get started today. I want to declare some words of victory over your life. And I believe as the position God has put me in as pastor, that I have authority to speak words that can impact your future. And I just encourage you to be open and to receive those words.
Bob, what is Joel Osteen saying there?
Well, I think he's saying exactly the same thing that his father said, and I think the listeners need to understand that Joel doesn't have the benefit of any seminary education as his father had. In fact, the sum total of Joel's knowledge of the Bible and doctrine and theology comes straight from his father. And I'll quote a little bit of John Osteen, and the listeners will see the similarity. And I quote, "The miracle is in your mouth. Dare to speak those promises out loud. Say them to yourself. Say them to the devil. Say them to the sickness. Say them to the mountain of your trouble. Confess them in the face of all contrary evidence. Say them while the pain is there. Say them while you are so sick you can hardly think. God is smiling down on you. He delights for you to put him in remembrance of his word. The Lord will surely make his promises come true in your life. When we say and confess his word, he brings the miracle to pass."
Now, Bob, that sounds pretty good. I mean, God does delight for us to put him in remembrance of his word and his promises. What's wrong with this teaching?
Well, the main problem with it, Todd, is that the people that are teaching this type of doctrine have no biblical understanding themselves, and so they misappropriate texts, and they'll take one verse, you know, say somewhere out of Jeremiah or maybe something out of Exodus. They'll take a sentence, and they'll say, well, that's my promise. I'm standing on it. For instance, Kenneth Copeland used to confess that he had cleanness of teeth because, I think it was somewhere in Joel or Micah, he said he was giving them cleanness of teeth. Well, the actual context was he was sending a famine upon the people, and they were not going to have anything to eat. But because of Copeland's ignorance, he simply saw cleanness of teeth, and he confessed that that was what God wanted for him. So that's the problem with it. Yes, God delights in us bringing him in remembrance of his word, as if he would forget it. They take another passage, I believe, out of Isaiah where it says, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. And so you've got a bunch of sinners down here commanding God to do things for them. And I think that's a little presumptuous. I think we need to pray according to God's word, but we need to pray according to his word in its context and not pull a verse out of its context and make it a pretext and end up not receiving what we're confessing. And frankly, this simply doesn't work 99% of the time for the people that are following this type of doctrine, and they end up becoming spiritually shipwrecked and very disillusioned.
Bob, here's Joel Osteen again, pastor of Lakewood Community Church in Houston, Texas, on expecting good things.
Well, I believe in the spiritual realm, things have been set into motion. Curses have been broken and blessings are on their way. You start expecting good things in your life.
What do we make of this term, spiritual realm? I have heard Word Faith teachers talk about spiritual principles, spiritual order, laws. What is this language? What does it mean?
Well, they make a great dichotomy between your mind and your spirit. And your mental thinking, and you think about scriptures or you read them, that's head knowledge. Somehow you have to get that head knowledge down in their theology, down into your spirit, and then as you speak it forth from your spirit out of your mouth, that's when it comes to pass. That's when you change the reality. And so they have this sort of mystical view of this spirit realm that we need to tap into, and we do that by initially meditating mentally on the Word of God, but at some point that sink is supposed to sink down into our spirits, and then when we confess it, it comes to pass. Well, how do you know if you've just got a head knowledge or you have a spiritual revelation? The proof is in the pudding. When you confess something and it comes to pass, then obviously it had gotten down into your spirit. In fact, I'll quote John Osteen again. He says, "In your heart of hearts, your spirit, picture yourself completely delivered from sickness, suffering, and all trouble. You are. Now take God's promises without fear and boldly confess them day and night when people ask you how you feel. Don't tell them. Tell them what God says about your case. Tell them about the promises of God. Tell them you don't go by feeling, but by what God says. Well, you know, that sounds all very good, and that's very positive, and people certainly can get with that program, but that didn't help John Osteen in the hospital. When he died, and when he was slowly dying over a period of a couple weeks, all of his study of confession and making years of positive confession for his own physical well-being didn't come to pass. And if it doesn't work in the lives of these teachers, then, you know, what hope does the poor follower have if the teachers have not gotten this power, this revelation yet? What chance does the person that goes to a conference every now and then have?
So with only a minute before we go to this break, Bob, is this the Word Faith teaching, as we hear it articulated by the other Word Faith teachers, and now it seems evident by Joel Osteen as well at Lakewood Community Church in Houston, is this basically a teaching about manipulating a kind of a spiritual mechanism by which God is either permitted or made to do one's bidding if one is able to speak with faith?
Well, absolutely. You see, because God has, according to their belief, God has created the universe according to fixed spiritual laws. And one of these laws is the law of confession. And so if we are confessing the word, God has to perform it. And so we do, in essence, control God. God is not sovereign. We are. In their books written, one title that comes to mind is Tying the Hands of God, how we tie God's hands. Either we loose his ability in the earth realm by faith-filled words, or we stop him by negative, fear-filled words. We can release revival, or we can stop a revival. Even Finney taught that religious people have killed more revivals than God could ever start. And so man has become the supreme being, and God is the one who simply is there to fulfill his promises. He's sort of reduced to an errand boy. And they really lack a sense of awe and a sense of the holiness of God. And they certainly lack a sense of their own innate fallenness and the fact that they are still sinners. And hopefully, if they are believers, they are justified yet still sinners.
Bob Liko is our guest. We'll be right back.
Dr. Dean Winthy, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the future of Concordia Theological Seminary.
I can't believe the blessings that we have been given, as we Lutherans say, not with any merit or worthiness on our part, but by God's grace, he continues to lead talented and dedicated men and women to give their lives to him and to the truth of the gospel. And I'd like to invite any of your listeners to come and visit us, but more than visit, worship with us, be my guest for a campus tour, and see how our life revolves around this wonderful truth that the incarnate Christ has brought to our world.
For information on the fall retreats at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, call toll-free 1-877-287-4338. The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again with Dr. Carl Fickencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fickencher, tell us about the course of study
understanding
in pastoral ministry
and
missions.
Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for September is titled Order Restored, A Biblical Interpretation of Health, Medicine, and Healing. It's published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Order Restored costs $20.99, plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Order Restored on our website, issuesetc.org. Just click the What's New section. How important are faith, attitude, and community in healing and wellness? Find out with Order Restored, our Issues, Etc. book of the month for September. 1-800-325-3040, or look it up on issuesetc.org.
Dr. Arthur Just on how the Bible is taught at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, the central principle for us in interpreting scriptures is the Christological principle. That is, that we believe, as Jesus says in Luke 24, that all the scriptures speak about him, and that we study the scriptures and teach the scriptures with a focus on Christ. Now, this isn't only Christ who lived and died and rose again a long time ago, but also the fact that through the scriptures, through the living word of God that we hear in our churches, we hear preached, is the means by which Christ continues to be present with us today. And I think what is unique about exegetical theology at our seminary is that we focus not only on what the scriptures say, but how they continue to be the lifeblood of the church, because they are the means by which Christ is present to the church with his gifts. As Luther says, the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation.
You've seen Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, and you're wondering, what does this mean? You attend church regularly, but your pastor seldom teaches or preaches about the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This is Todd Wilkin, host of Issues, Etc., inviting you to visit a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation this week. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we preach Christ and Him crucified.
If you enjoy listening to Issues, Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues, Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues, Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org. If you enjoy listening to Issues, Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues, Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues, Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues, Etc. is looking for one member from each Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation to become our official lay representative. Responsibilities simply involve promotion of Issues, Etc. in your local church. Now, if you're interested, leave your name, phone number, and mailing address, and your congregation's name, city and state, on our automated resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Joel Osteen and his teaching there at Lakewood Community Church in Houston, Texas, the largest megachurch in the United States. Bob Leko of Discernment Ministry International, based in Detroit, is our guest. Bob is a former Word Faith pastor and author of an article on the Leaven of Lakewood in the Truth Matters newsletter. Now, if you'd like to know how to subscribe to Bob's Truth Matters newsletter, call our Issues, Etc. resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172, and we'll give you the phone number and the mailing address for Discernment Ministry International, or you can check out Bob's website by going first to our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the section titled Links with Regular Guests, and you'll find a direct link to Bob Leko and Discernment Ministry International. Bob, here again is Joel Osteen at Lakewood Community Church. This is a prayer that ended one of his weekly broadcasts.
Why don't you just bow your heads and let these words soak into you and fill every fiber of your being. Father, I declare by the authority that you've given me that every person under the sound of my voice is blessed. I declare you are blessed with God's wisdom, that you have clear direction for your life, that you will make wise choices. I declare that you are blessed with creativity, with good ideas, with courage, with strength, with ability. I declare that you are blessed with a good family, with good friends, with long life. I declare you are blessed with promotion, with success, with an obedient heart, with a positive outlook. I declare that whatever you put your hands to is going to prosper and succeed. You're going to be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. You will be blessed coming in and blessed going out. And I declare right now that every negative word, every curse that has been spoken over you, in the name of Jesus, that curse is broken. And in the coming days, all the negative things that have affected you, they will not have any effect on you anymore. And I declare you'll experience a new sense of freedom, a new sense of fulfillment, a new sense of victory in your life. Friends, I declare that you are blessed. And if you receive the blessing, shout amen. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I believe in the spiritual realm, things have been set into motion. Curses have been broken and blessings are on their way. You start expecting good things in your life.
Bob, you are a former Word Faith pastor. Does this sound familiar?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one thing that really strikes me as I hear Joel saying that is how often he's saying, I declare and I confess and I decree. You never heard Jesus mentioned throughout that whole litany of statements. It wasn't, the people obviously weren't pointed to Jesus. Their faith was in the fact that their pastor, Joel Osteen, is a man of faith and power, and he is the one decreeing these things, and he is the one releasing these things in the realm of the Spirit. And they just have to receive them, you know, in their hearts, and these blessings are coming to them. Well, that's really nothing more than the positive affirmations of Christian Science or any of the metaphysical cults that are out there. That's really all that he is doing, is saying happy, good, positive thoughts over his congregation, which is what they do in the Unity Church and the Church of Today and Reverend Ike does and all of these people. It's nothing new. It actually goes back to the 1800s. But it's simply not biblical. He has no authority to decree blessings on all of those people there, considering the fact that he doesn't know all of those people have a genuine salvific experience with Christ. He doesn't know what type of sin they may be in that they have not repented of or confessed before Christ and sought forgiveness. So you can't make these blanket statements over everyone. And how does he deal with the people who are going through problems, who are suffering, who are sick, who are facing bankruptcy or tragedy in their life? When he's made these great declarations and you come and say, hey, it's not working in my life, Pastor, well, whose fault is it? Well, hey, it's not my fault. I've decreed these things. You have dug up your seed by your negative words. You've brought to naught the promises of God through your unbelief. Why, even Jesus went into this town and he could do no mighty works because the people's unbelief. And that's what's happened in your life, my brother. You know, and that's the kind of out they give themselves. Instead of actually ministering on a pastoral level to the suffering member of their congregation, they shrug it off and put the blame on the congregational member. Now, and that's just tragic.
Now, you mentioned before, Bob, seeker sensitivity, this movement in the church that's so popular in the church today, that kind of says, look, we're going to let the felt needs of the audience dictate not only the manner of the message, but sometimes even the message itself. The audience becomes sovereign, in the words of many seeker-sensitive proponents. Is this seeker-sensitive meets word faith in the preaching and teaching of Joel Osteen?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think he is the wave of the future for a lot of the independent charismatic churches, because they all watch each other, and when somebody is doing something that seems to be drawing a crowd or seems to be having an impact or seems in their paradigm of what success is to be successful, and of course having the largest church in America automatically in our minds often means, well, this person's doing something right or God would not be blessing him and sending all of these people. So I think that is what is indeed the wave of the future. He's used his marketing skills that he's honed over the years, and he did have a couple of years of training at Oral Roberts in marketing and television. He's used these skills along with the upbeat, positive confession, happy personality that he has, and apparently he is very charismatic in the sense of not sign gift, but he's got that charismatic type of personality. He's got a winsome smile, and he seems to be a very affable fellow. In fact, Charisma describes Osteen with having an upbeat style, and of course his style is upbeat. It's safe to say, really, that he believes much of the Word of Faith stuff that his father cultivated in him, and he adds this whole marketing aspect, and he brings the message down to what I call the lowest common denominator. He doesn't teach things that are going to offend anyone, because that's anathema to the seeker-sensitive movement. You always want to teach a message that is positive. You don't want to deal with sin. You don't want to deal with sacrifice, with the cross, with suffering for the sake of the gospel, even though the Bible says, what, those that desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. They don't want to go there. They simply want to dwell on the positive aspects of the Bible. And certainly there are a lot of extremely positive things in the Scripture, but if you're going to be a good pastor, you're going to tell people the cost of being a disciple, which is everything. And that's an area they're simply not going to go to.
Is this why, then, if you listen consistently to the preaching of Joel Osteen, you will listen for a long time? You might get an honorable mention of Jesus from time to time, and he does pray in Jesus' name and mention Jesus occasionally, but the clear message of the cross, of sin and Christ's payment in his body at the cross for sin, as the sacrifice for sin, is more often than not simply missing.
Oh, very, very true. In fact, if you listen to any of these guys that are on television, whether it's Joel Osteen or Creflo Dollar or any of the charismatic pastors that you'll see on television, none of these gentlemen preach anything remotely near what we would consider law and gospel preaching. They do not point out the sinfulness of man or the goodness of God in sending Christ to die for us and to save us by grace alone, through faith alone. They don't go there. They just deal with what I would consider a very deficient gospel. They deal with the fact that God is good and that he wants to bless you and that Jesus died so you can have a great life. And they've watered down the message of the cross, and they very seldom really teach the gospel. They don't proclaim the gospel, and I have to wonder if they actually know what the gospel message is.
Let's take a quick call before we go to this break, and we'll get Bob's response to that call on the other side of the break. 1-800-730-2727. Listening in Washington, D.C. on WAVA. Kenny, welcome to Issues, Etc. About 30 seconds, Kenny.
All right. Thank you very much. I enjoy your program. I must mention, I try to watch Joel Osteen all the time for the precise reasons that the gentleman gave about his message being upbeat and positive. My question is, can you tell me, and I think you kind of addressed it specifically, how his message is conflicting or contrary to scriptures, or how it is in fact detrimental? And could you also state someone that you would consider to be a teaching the scriptures in a proper way, in a full way, that, you know, that, for example, comes on television?
Kenny, thank you very much for the call. We'll get Bob's response to that question on the far side of the break. You're listening to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Bob Alico is our guest. If you'd like to know how to contact him and Discernment Ministry International, or if you'd like to become our Issues, Etc. lay representative in your local Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation, or if you'd like to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift, call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or just write us at Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. When we come back, Bob's response to Kenny's question, what is wrong with a upbeat, maybe simple but upbeat, message of Joel Osteen at Lakewood Community Church in Houston, Texas? It's our topic. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls. Stay with us.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is looking for one member from each Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation to become our official lay representative. Responsibilities simply involve promotion of Issues Etc. in your local church. Now, if you're interested, leave your name, phone number, and mailing address, and your congregation's name, city, and state on our automated resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. You know what Joel Osteen could use? He could use a good basic course on biblical preaching. What is it? It's the preaching of both the law and the gospel. The clear word of God's condemnation of our sin. It's not that we just make mistakes. It's that we are sinners who incur the wrath of God. That's the law. And the gospel, the clear message that for all our sins, Christ has atoned with his blood at the cross. You know, every sermon ought to have the message of sin and grace standing at the very center, and the gospel should always get the last word. He could take such a course at Concordia Theological Seminary from Dr. Carl Fickencher up there in Fort Wayne, Indiana. If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, and ask to schedule an on-campus visit, 1-800-481-2155, or visit them on the web at ctsfw.edu. That's ctsfw.edu. Bob Kenny called before the break. He asked, what is basically wrong with the upbeat message of Joel Osteen?
Well, I think there are a couple things that are important to keep in mind, Kenny. You've got to understand, first of all, that you have a man standing in the office of a pastor who has absolutely no biblical education other than what he's gleaned from his father. So you have a person who has really never sat down and studied any type of systematic theology or church history, hermeneutics, any Greek or Hebrew. So you have a man that's basically untrained up there. That's a danger, I believe, because when you stand as a teacher, as we're taught in the book of James, those who teach are going to be judged with a stricter judgment because people will basically respect a man that stands behind a pulpit and reads out of a Bible, and they will follow that person many times because they are trusting in his expertise. As far as the positive, upbeat message, there's nothing wrong with going to church and hearing a positive message. I don't expect people to leave when I'm done preaching feeling like they've been beaten with a whip of many cords. Sometimes they may feel that way. But the point with his messages are it's kind of like eating nothing but dessert all your life, and you actually never get to the meat of the word. You never get the sincere milk of the word. And so people are not really growing spiritually. They're not really growing in their relationship and walk with Jesus Christ because their knowledge of him is so skewed and deficient and anemic that they are not being built up in the faith and being able to come and to grow, you know, into the full stature of Christ, which is God's will for all of his children. And, of course, in this life, none of us will ever achieve that. Even the Apostle Paul said that he still pressed on, and that he had not yet reached, you know, his goal, but he was pressing on for this high calling in Christ, and that high calling is not being presented accurately to the members of Lakewood Assembly. They're not being taught what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Listening on WEMI in Appleton, Wisconsin, Alan, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, are you speaking with me?
Yes, Alan.
My name's Alan. I just wanted to call. I've sat under Paul Osteen. He's a mighty man of God, and what he teaches is it's upbeat and it's right on. He teaches the Word of God, And he declares it to be indestructible, incorruptible. He's imitates God as a dear child. He lives the life, and they have all kinds of programs and ministers. They meet people's needs. They deal with people individually on an individual basis, and whatever need that they have or sin or lifestyle they're coming out of, they have programs and stuff for them to get involved in the church, and they mentor them.
Now, Alan, before I let you go, how come then it is that Pastor Osteen seldom mentions sin and Jesus' sacrifice for sin at the cross in his weekly television program from Lakewood? Why, in the broadcast, do we seldom get sin and grace?
Well, they do deal with it. It may be dealt with more on a personal level, but they meet with people after services on Saturday, meet everybody individually, and he'll take whatever time. He's a very humble man. Listen to whatever you have to say, no matter what it is, and even if you're wrong, he'll sit there and listen. Why he doesn't say it from the pulpit? I believe he does. I don't know what programs you're listening to. I know he's not as hard-hitting as some.
Alan, thank you very much. You know, I've listened to a lot of his preaching, Bob, and I have not heard the message of clear sin or of the cross. The cross is, frankly, as concerning as the other as well. Your comments on Alan's call.
I would agree with Alan to this extent that Lakewood Church, even when his father, John Osteen, was alive and was the pastor there, they did have a heart for the community, and I applaud them for that. They do a tremendous amount of missionary work. They give large amounts of money overseas to different mission churches and organizations. They do support, you know, feeding the hungry and clothing people in their area. And those are all good things. And frankly, many large Word of Faith churches do not do that. And he's carried on that legacy from his father, and he is to be commended for doing those works of charity. As far as him sitting down with people, we have to be honest, Alan. I mean, when you have 30,000 members, Joel probably knows the names of, you know, a few hundred of those people because he's just a human being. And there are only so many hours in the day, and he can only meet with so many people. And I'm sure it's very difficult for the average rank-and-file attendee at Lakewood to ever personally sit down and have a cup of coffee with Joel Osteen. Doesn't happen.
What about the general, and this is a final question here with only a minute, what about the general lack of depth, or to just put it in basic terms, the general lack of biblical theology in the message of Joel Osteen?
He just simply doesn't know it. You can only preach what you know. And I fault him for that because he has the time, he has the money, he's surrounded by enough good schools in that area where he could go and he could obtain more understanding and become a better pastor and get some better tools. So I fault him for not taking advantage of what's there. In his mind, he probably looks at the crowds, the people are happy, he's getting positive feedback, he's getting good write-ups in Charisma, the number one charismatic national and international magazine. He's on every market, you know, that he can get on as far as cable networks and local Christian television stations. So in his mind, he no doubt thinks he's doing a good job. And I do not for a minute, Todd, doubt his sincerity. I don't. He's not someone like a Tilton who I would consider a fraud. I believe Joel Osteen is very sincere. The sad thing is he doesn't realize how ignorant he is of some of the very foundational truths of Christianity, and so he's unable to impart those to these thousands, tens of thousands of people. And so the sad thing is these people are being entertained. They're hearing a little biblical truth tossed in with some stuff that's not very wholesome. And so it's stunting these people spiritually. They're not, as the Marines would say, you know, they're not being all they could be. In this case, they're not being all they could be for our Lord and really being as effective in the kingdom of God as they could be, as opposed if they were sitting under a good pastor who was feeding them line upon line, precept upon precept, and giving them the Word of God, the whole gospel, and letting those people grow in Christ.
Folks, Bob has an article in the latest Truth Matters newsletter, Bob Leko of Discernment Ministry International, called The Leaven of Lakewood. We'll be posting that article a little bit later this week on our website, issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, September the 26th. We will continue to take your phone calls in the next hour on the teachings of Joel Osteen with Bob Leko, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Make sure and tune in live to the next hour on the internet only, not on the radio, only on the internet at our website, issuesetc.org. When you get there, click on the worldwide KFUO logo and listen to the next hour live on the internet. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. If you're getting a busy signal, be patient and keep trying. We'll be freeing up phone lines and taking your phone calls all through the next hour of Issues, Etc. with Bob Leko, 1-800-730-2727. When you listen to any teaching, if you listen to Bob Leko's teaching, Todd Wilkins' teachings, Joel Osteen's teaching, listen for Jesus. Here's a good little rule of thumb. How often is Jesus mentioned? Just keep track of it. If he's mentioned, is he the subject of the verbs? Is he the one who does the action, who saves, who enlightens, who forgives? What are those verbs that Jesus is the subject of? You should expect that Christ and Him crucified be the center of every message that you hear from a Christian preacher. That your sin be pointed out from God's Word in all of its stark reality, and that sin and the wrath of God on account of that sin be answered completely with the perfect life, the death, and the resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, at the cross. Every time you listen to a Christian sermon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.